grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. The word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Pray with me, if you would. Lord Jesus, we pray in the name of Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, according to the will of the Father, that you would remind us and help us to remember that we're weak. Help us to remember that in our weakness, you are most glorified. Help us to remember that that our faith isn't a crutch for a cripple. Our faith is a wheelchair for a quadriplegic. We have nothing, no spiritual power, no ability to obey you, no ability to have affection for you or your word without the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of the gospel being applied to our hearts. And so, Lord Jesus, help us to be reminded tonight of our weakness and your strength, of our emptiness and your fullness. We pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Interesting verse, isn't it? Passage of scripture that we do not often read or think about or contemplate. We are all from dust, and to dust we shall return. What is this season of Lent? What is this this evening of Ash Wednesday? In the same way as the table calls us to remember and enter into the Lord's presence to feed on Christ, this also has a purpose, and it's a little bit of a different purpose. In following the narrative of Christ's life, we're looking at Christ entering into his earthly ministry, and we're following him, in a sense, all the way to the cross. And so we enter into a time of grieving. But we're supposed to remember. We're supposed to remember during this time. And in that remembering, it's preparing us for Easter. In fact, Eric and I were talking not too long ago that during the season of Lent, that Sundays in Lent are supposed to be all little Easters that remind us. And we're actually supposed to break our fast on Sunday as a picture of the Easter that is to come. But what is it that we're supposed to remember? What is it that we're supposed to recall during this time? It's something that we don't usually do in church much, a season of lament, a season of repentance, a season of grieving. In fact, we isolate ourselves from grieving, don't we? We isolate ourselves from feeling pain. And yet, this is a season where we are supposed to be acquainted with grief and to know our own weakness. We're all from dust, and to dust we shall return. One of the things we're supposed to remember during this time is our fragility, that we are fragile creatures. You know, not so long ago, when somebody would catch a cold before the emergence of modern medicine, they may die from a cold. It was dangerous to get caught in the rain. We've been reminded of that this year, haven't we, of life's fragility during this pandemic. It's shocking to us, it's surprising to us that there's no medicine, that there's no vaccine, that there's not a pill we can take. Not an antibiotic that we can get that will, because we're so used to that, we're so accustomed to that, almost feeling invincible, so that we expect to live 85, 90 years. And yet this pandemic has reminded us, and not just America, but the whole world, of how fragile we really are and how fragile life is. Well, why do we need to remember our fragility? Well, you know, when we come to the celebration on Sundays and we come to the table, we always are remembering our sins. So we repent and come to the Lord and turn away from our sin. But here, the repentance is a little different. Yes, we are repenting. This is a season to repent of our sins. But it's also a season to repent of our perceived strength. How we view ourselves, how we view our life. And so, in repentance, we remember that we are but dust. The scripture tells us plainly in other places that we are like the grass that's here today and gone tomorrow, that when the sun comes up in the morning and burns away the dew, that the grass dies with it, that that's how quick our moment is on the stage. And so we're not only reminded of our fragility and our great need for Jesus every single day and in every single moment, that there's nothing small enough that doesn't need the Spirit of Christ. I know that very well, because sometimes when I come out of a grocery store or a shopping mall, I can't find my car and can't remember where I've even parked. That's remembering that even in the small things, I need Jesus desperately. There's nothing small enough that doesn't require the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. But we're also reminded of death, not just our fragility, but also death. We're reminded that we're going to die. And certainly in our culture, we don't think about that very much at all. Again, outside of this past year, we just don't like to think about those things. We aren't a culture that is acquainted with grief. We're acquainted with celebration. We're acquainted with happiness. We're acquainted with the pursuit of happiness. It's even in our Constitution and Declaration. And yet the Lord would call us also to be acquainted not just with happiness, but with also grief. That we would know that death is a reality and that all of us are going to die, no matter who we are. In fact, if you live long enough, my dad is 81, I think maybe 82 now. And we were talking a while back, and he said, you know, son, everybody that I knew when I was a kid, my age and older, is now dead. There are only a handful of people who are alive that I went to school with, he said. So that in our lives, if we live old enough to be 85, 90 years old, we will have lived long enough to see every one of our friends, mom, dad, uncle, aunts, all those that we knew as a child would be gone. That's how much death we will see in our lifetime. And when we look at that death, we're supposed to be reminded, this season of Lent is to stare at death and to look it in the eye. Because there is another death that will never die. You see, when we look at history, we see people who are, you know, great in history and did great things. We remember the life of George Washington, or we remember the life of Abraham Lincoln, or, you know, we remember the life of Corrie ten Boom, or, other maybe heroes of freedom or faith. But we hardly ever remember anyone's death. And yet, there is a death that we're going to celebrate during Holy Week. And that death, all death will be forgotten in heaven except for one death. And that death is the only death that is to be celebrated, because that death ends in victory with the resurrection. And so there's only one death that's never going to die. Even in heaven, we will celebrate that death. And because of that, we remember during this time that we can stare death in the face without fear, without loneliness, without despair. But we can grieve as those who have hope, and we can even look at death knowing that we will not die alone. No Christian does. For Christ will walk us through that veil of death and meet us on the other side of it. The Holy Spirit will carry us through it. And because of the resurrection that is remembered along with that one death, you and I remember that death does not have the final say. And what else do we remember? Well, obviously we remember to fast. This is a time of fasting, is it not? I mean, you know, we're all in some way or another giving something up, but why do we fast? What's the reason for fasting? Are we fasting as a display for others? No. Scripture made that clear that we read just before this. Are we fasting in a way to earn God's favor? We read in the scripture that if, you know, if we want the Lord to hear us, there is a way to fast so that the Lord hears it. But when we say he's going to hear us, does that mean he's going to bless us with some? Are we obligating the Lord by our fast to say, hey, look, I'm fasting, and so you have to do this because I'm doing that? No. It's not what the fasting is all about. Fasting is again an emptying out. It is a pulling out of the center. Fasting again reminds us of our great need, so that then we feel the need of others. Did you read in the scriptures that were being read that this fasting is supposed to create in us a desire to help others who are weak and hurting, because we are reminded. During this time, we're reminded of our weakness. We're reminded of our emptiness. We're reminded of our fragility. We're reminded of our death. And these things are supposed to, by the Spirit of God, call us to reach out to others and minister to others as the body of Christ, to minister love and care and mercy, not to oppress, but to build up. It's also a time of repentance, isn't it? This whole season is a time of repentance. But what is repentance? Oftentimes we're told that repentance is turning away from sin and turning to God. But that's not actually what repentance is. Repentance is just this, turning to Jesus. It's coming to Christ and saying, my heart is hard. Soften it. My will is rebellious. Tender me. Tender the affections of my heart, that I might know you and receive your love, so that our hate for sin comes out of our love for Christ, because it's the love of Christ Jesus, it's the desire for Jesus, it's the longing for him that actually kills our sin. And so finally, it's a time of longing. And in this longing, what we're doing when we're repenting is we're pulling ourselves out of the middle by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're turning to Jesus, and Jesus takes up residence in the center of our lives rather than us. Because we're born rebellious kings of our own sorry little kingdoms. And repentance means to move out of the middle, and where Christ takes residence in the center, and we recognize that he is our joy, and we long for him as our great prize. It is a longing for Jesus. It's a longing for justice. It's a longing for shalom and peace. It's a longing not just to be in heaven, but to see heaven come down. It's a longing to know, what is it to think one thought without sin? What is it to think one thought that isn't selfish? Scripture tells us that all creation is pregnant, as in travail, longing for Easter, longing for the return of Christ. We all are from dust. And to dust we shall return. We're fragile. We're dying. We're empty. We're longing. I believe that most of us, especially in the U.S., live with a false sense of security and centrality. Subconsciously, we believe that we will live forever and we are the middle. We believe that we're immortal. Death is for the other person, not us. After all, the world cannot possibly go on without us taking up residence in the center, where only Christ is supposed to be, right? We are the center. We're the straw that stirs the drink, right? We're busy living that way. We're daily occupied with building a life, a marriage, a family, a business, a nation, without realizing that at any moment, our lives may be required of us. That at any moment, our time on this mortal planet may suddenly come to an end. This breath that we have, that as Shakespeare says, that we're only on the stage for a moment, and there comes that time when we shuffle off this mortal coil to be forgotten. But tragically, we make the same mistake as that group of people so long ago in Babel who were busy building a tower to their own importance without understanding how incredibly, incredibly fragile they really were. We're like Pharaoh who wants to build the pyramids of Egypt to make our name great forever. We're like Nebuchadnezzar who built a statue to his own fame. We're like Goliath who made his boastful claim to be a god. Like Nero, like Herod, like Alexander and Napoleon, like Hitler and Mussolini and me. Left to myself, selfish, evil, reigning over my own sorry kingdom. A person making a dust pile in the rain and calling it a kingdom. Listen, guys, we are from dust. And to dust we shall return. Me with you and you with me. You too, you are dust. The breath of life we breathe was given by grace, and someday that breath is going to return from where it came. So what if we discover that will not be forgotten? What have we built that will not pass away? What have we said that will not go silent? What have we grown that will not decay? Only one thing stands that will never fall. Only one ear hears the faintest call. And only one hand holds the tears that we cry. And only one death will never die. Only one Savior can save us all. And only one King can rule us all. So when we are gone from this world, only one thing remains. When we return to the dust, only one can lift us up again. So until that moment when everything is new, we live with the knowledge that all that we do is merely a whisper, gone with the wind. And so I'm reminded to learn and relearn. From dust I've come. And to dust, I'll return. And so during this time of Lent, we repent. We turn our eyes on Jesus. That's what repentance is. Just turning our eyes to the King and Savior of all creation. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen.